If you will, let us turn our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 1. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9. John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That light, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. What a great passage of scripture. I want us to finish up from on last week, as we was talking about Jesus Christ being the resurrection and the life, and transition into Jesus, the light of the world. On last week, as we was talking about Jesus Christ and Him being the resurrection and the life, we noticed John chapter 11, verse number 25. And in that great passage, we saw something that was very powerful as Jesus was talking to Martha and giving her assurance, if you will, telling her that I am the resurrection and the life. It was later on that Jesus is talking to Martha that we see in verses number 38 and 39. He tells her again, as it relates to her, him being the resurrection and the life. He says in verse number 14, or verse number 40, I'm sorry, did not I say unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? She indeed was going to see the glory of God, but not only her, those who were around were also going to see the glory of God. Later on in that message, we saw that the glory of God is seen in verses 43 and verse 44, where Jesus calls Lazarus forth. He says, Lazarus, come forth. There we see the resurrection. And then later on, we see, loose him and let him go. There is the life. Friends, we understand that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And in that, we made some application. We went to the book of Colossians on last week, if you will. I missed one on last week. On last week, we was talking about the resurrection, the resurrected life looks a certain way. And in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we said that the resurrected life is a circumcised life. It's a life that was cut off, that is cut off from sin. But I missed this one on last week, verses 14 through 23, that the resurrected life is a life not governed by the commandments of men. We are not bound by the commandments of men. We are bound by the commandments of God. Also, we saw in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, that the resurrected life is a Christ-centered life. Then we saw in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 3 that the resurrected life is a cancer-free life. Oh, no, we're not talking about physical cancer. We're talking about spiritual. We know for a fact that we can put away anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy. We can put those things away and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. This life is a created and cultivated life, verses 10 through 17, and then verses 18 through chapter 4 and verse number 1, that this life is a caring life. But I want us to talk about that life aspect. That Jesus Christ said that I am the resurrection and the life. When we think about that, friends, we consider what is life. Oh no, we're not talking about our livelihood. We're not talking about that which sustains us here on this earth, even though those things are vitally important. But we're talking about the life that God gives us. That life that God has given us is the life of light. Oh, friends, when we think about John chapter 8, and let us take a small perusal through the scriptures as we look at some of the things concerning the life of light and how important light is. Oh, it's good to hear those babies crying. You know, it's good to hear that life, if you will, because that's what it is. It's life. We think about the life that God has given us. We think about John chapter 8, and we know that there is life after sin. In this particular text, we see a woman caught in the very act of adultery. She was snatched out of the process, if you will. It was a very sinful situation. Remember what Jesus said in verse number 7 of John chapter 8, after they continued to bug him concerning answering the question of what Moses' law say, what do you say? He answers them by saying, he that is without sin among you cast the first stone. But then you drop down into verse number 10, and he says, woman, where are thine accusers? She says, there are none. He says, neither do I accuse thee. But notice what he says to her. Go and sin no more. He did not tell her to stay in her sinful state, but he told her to go and don't do that again. But then notice what he says in verse number 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Hold on. The lifestyle that woman had was a lifestyle of darkness. If you're going to follow Jesus, he says, you shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That which is going to give you spiritual vitality, if you will. That is which is going to sustain you. But then notice John chapter 9. Not going to read all of this, but verses 1 through 5. We have a different type of darkness. We have a darkness because of an individual that was born in that particular state. By no stretch of the imagination is Jesus saying one is born in sin. We have Bible against that. Romans 9 and verse number 11. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 39. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29. All of those passages teach that an individual is born in the very image of God, meaning that they are born holy, they are born upright, they are born a moral being. But here in this case, we see something very important, because Jesus here is teaching that this individual is blind, but he is going to have his eyes open that the glory of God may be manifested. But then notice in verse number 5, notice what he says, start in verse number 4, I'm sorry. I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. Notice what he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the one that is going to help individuals take off the spiritual blinders. I'm reminded of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, about how the God of this age, the God of this world, had blinded the mind of those lest they believe the light of the glorious gospel. Friends, God, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. But turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, if you are continuing to follow, here we see that the light is connected very closely to the cross. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me, verse 32. But then in verse number 34, he says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. They said, who is the Son of Man? Jesus responds, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness, notice the word, overtake you. The word literally in the original means to snatch away. Last thing we want is darkness to snatch us away because we're not looking at the cross. Here, notice what he goes on to say. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. But what light is he talking about? Friends, I want to suggest to you some things before we start talking about the light that Jesus is talking about. In Genesis chapter 1, let's take this small perusal. I promise to have you out by at least 1 o'clock. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, if you have your Bibles there, here we understand that God spoke light into existence. But friends, this is not the light that we see in Genesis 1 verses 13 and 14. This particular light that God is talking about here is the light that we see all of the time, the ambient light. But friends, I truly believe that there is a deeper meaning behind this ambient light. We'll get there here in a few minutes. But then you jump down to verse number 14, and here God speaks some more lights into existence. He speaks the sun into existence. He speaks the moon into existence, and then he speaks the stars into existence. All of those are forms of light, but we see that the sun is a source of light, and the moon and stars are just luminaries. They are reflections of the light. Reason why I say in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3 that there's a deeper meaning behind that, because if you was to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 10, verses 9 through verse number 11, verses 21 through verse number 23, you'll see something called the ninth plague. You remember in that ninth plague, Brother Braswell, and here the people of God had light upon their side, signifying that God was with them. And on the other side, the Bible teaches that it was so dark that they could feel it. I believe that God is teaching us something, that when one has the light of the glorious gospel in their life, they're able to see things. But when they're walking in darkness, they stumble and fall into anything and everything. It's interesting, but I don't have time to go into that. In Psalm 119, turn your Bibles there. Here we talk about another type of light. This particular light in Psalm 119 and verse number 105. Here the psalmist uses this particular light, Brother Popejoy, in the form of a figure of speech. He says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Now notice that. He says that the word is a lamp, and then he says a light into his path. We can put those together, that the word is that which provides light or direction or guidance. But then we see in Psalm 119 and verse number 130. Here, this is where I began to get real happy with the scriptures. Because we see something very important from the psalmist. He says, "The entrance of your words give light." Literally, the unfolding of your word. The unfolding of your word? When I take God's word and I open it up and I begin to unfold the meanings of God's word, it began to give me light. It gives me direction. Here it is. It gives understanding to the simple. Literally, it carries the idea of a light bulb going off in your mind. You know, the word of God is so powerful that when you read it and meditate upon it and think about it, you go, I didn't think about that before. The word of God is a light. The question is this: are we in the word enough for the light bulb to go off? Wow. But we go any further than this. Who is the source of this light? In 1 John 1 and verse number 5, here we have the source of light. There the Bible teaches us in no uncertain terms that John, as he brings this proposition forward, he says, "This is the message which we have heard from him, to declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Friends, what is he talking about concerning the light in this passage? Is he talking about the light bulb going off in your mind? No, sir. No, ma'am. Is he talking about the sun, moon, and stars? No, sir. No, ma'am. Is he talking about the ambient light? No, sir. And no, ma'am. He's talking about morality. And John, he supports this proposition by saying that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There it is. What does it mean? God is light. God is holy. God is holy. In Job 34 and verse number 10, just write that in your notes. Job substantiates this particular proposition, saying, far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. God will never commit iniquity. God will never do anything that is unrighteous. But before we go further into this thought, I brought on a point in Bible class. If you will, turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 6. In Leviticus chapter 6, now, I need y'all to stay with me, because when I get to the application, it'll all make sense. See, one thing about God's man must tell the people what God is saying first. But a lot of times we like to hear what the man has to say. No, I think we need to hear what the man has to say. So when the man gets through speaking, then we can know what we are required to do. When you consider this light, God is a God of morality, a God of holiness. But we talked about this morning in Hebrews 12 and verse 29, God is a fire, which means that God himself can devour. But also, when you consider this fire, the same fire guides and leads people. The children of Israel were led by a pillar of fire by night coming out of Egypt. But also, when God brought them out of Egyptian bondage, Brother Dennis, he told the priests in Leviticus chapter 6, verses 9 and following, he told them that they needed to keep the fire going. Why is that? God always wanted his people to know that in the midst of the camp, I am with you. Wow. You know what? Is God with us? Is the fire burning in you? You know, that's a question you have to answer. Is God's word burning like a fire in your bones? God always wanted the people to know, in the midst of the camp, I am with you. And if you were to ever make a misstep or fault or sin, you can go to the altar, because the fire is always burning. It's always burning. That means that if you come across something in the word of God and you're studying it and the light goes off in your mind at 2 a.m, you can go to God and you can ask God for forgiveness even at 2 a.m. That's how good our God is. But God's word is a prophetic light. I'll get back to God being a God of holiness. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. God's word is a prophetic light. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 2, there we see that God's word is a prophetic light to the Jews. But if you go to Isaiah 49 and verse number 6, God's word was a prophetic light to the Gentiles. God left no one out. You know, when we take the gospel to the known world, we ought to take it to all people. Why? Because all people should be saved. Now, let's look at this holiness for a second. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. Turn your Bibles there, because I want us to notice this great God of holiness. This is a God that when you measure or attempt to measure yourself up against God, you find yourself falling way short. Because he is a God of holiness, Brother Raphael. He is a God of purity. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that God hides himself. Isaiah 45, verse 15. But how does God hide himself? Does God want to be found? You better believe he wants to be found. Acts 17 and verse number 28. However, God is a God of holiness. He's a God of light. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16, notice what your Bible says. Who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. God is a God of light. And because of this light, God is a God of holiness. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 16. But what does this mean? How do we approach God? No wonder Jesus had to come. Little Mike, no wonder Jesus had to come. He had to show us who this light was. John 1:18, he is the very exegesis of God. He came to declare God. He came to show us how to live a life of holiness, how to have a mindset of holiness, how to walk in holiness, and how to keep our lives right with God in righteousness and holiness. God is a God of holiness. In James chapter 1 and verse number 13, the Bible there teaches us that God is so pure that he doesn't even lure men with sin. Hold on. You know, it's funny that people, we'll even hear even amongst us sometimes, I don't know why God is putting me through this. If it's sinful, God is not putting you through it. Because God doesn't do that. Because God is holy. Reminded of one time a person said, yeah, I'm living with this girl. I don't know why God got me and this girl together. No, I told God I don't got you two together. God don't have nothing to do with that. God wants you to get married. Oh, that's a good point. That's not even part of the lesson. That's free. Y'all can keep that one. God is a God of holiness. But in James 1:17, his holiness is a holiness that doesn't change. But I want to show you something. God hides himself in holiness. He hides himself in the light. In Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 3 and 4. Here Habakkuk, as he looks at the impending danger of the Babylonians coming in and taking over Judah and taking them into Chaldean captivity. He goes to God and he tells God, how could you use a nation that is more evil than the nation that belongs to you? And in the midst of all of this, he comes to the realization that God is a God of just. He's a God of justice. He's a God of honor. So in his prayer of praise in chapter 3, y'all stay with me. He talks about the glory of God in verse 3. And then he talks about in verse number 4, the brightness of his light. You know what he's saying? That God is so holy that he himself could do nothing wrong. And that the very fact that the Chaldeans are coming from the north and they're going to take over God's people, it must be the right thing. What does that teach us about God? That God is so good to us that we ought to follow the light. That the things that happen to our lives, if we're walking according to the Spirit's teaching, Galatians 5 verse 16, is exactly what's supposed to happen to us. Why? Because I'm doing what is right. When I stand up for truth, as we go into our theme for next year in 1 Peter 3:15, being ready to give answer, we want to make sure that we're walking according to the teachings of God's word. And to know for a fact that the God of heaven, he is so pure and righteous and holy that Habakkuk 1 and verse 13 says that he is so of pure eyes that he can't even look upon evil. That's how good God is. And friends, let it never be said about our God that he is a God that never does anything right, that he's causing bad things to happen in our lives. No, sir, and no, ma'am. He's not that type of God. He's a God that when he does something, it is a thing, it is of justice. And when he does it, it is right. He's a God of light. He will always do that which is right because he's our God. He's the God of the Bible. So who is this holy God? Why should I follow him? In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here's my point right here. Remember what John said in John 8 verse number 12? What Jesus said in John 8 verse number 12, the light of life. Oh, friends, is Jesus our life? You know, we say these slogans, these sayings, oh, she's my life. Oh, I just can't live without him. He's my life. I can't live without this job. It's my life. No, Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and following, Christ is our life. Because he's the light. He's the one that illuminates our hearts. He He's the one that teaches us how to have love and joy and peace and long-suffering. He's the one that teaches us how to confront evil, because God is a God that doesn't want to be putting up with evil. Therefore, his people shouldn't either. Jesus is the light of the world. And because of that, we want to make sure that we walk in the light. By way of application, look at Ephesians chapter 5. I want us to see something very swiftly. As I was thinking about Jesus being our light, and if we follow him, friends, this will help us in our marriages. This will help us with child rearing. This will help us with relationships in the church. It will help us with relationships on the job. Help us even with our enemies, Matthew 5 and verse 44 and 45. Friends, God is a God that desires for us to walk in the light. Look at verse 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Notice, for you were once darkness, meaning immoral. You did your own thing, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now notice the parenthetical statement there. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You want to understand what the light is? There it is. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Do you struggle with lying sometimes? If you do, stop. If you struggle with righteousness, then get back to the Word. Are you struggling with goodness? Get to the Word. Get back to the light. I'm reminded of this old story of a guy, Brother Brian. He had a flat in a old country dirt road. He's about 5 miles in the woods. And as he's driving, he catches this flat, and next thing you know, he doesn't have a light. He can't see anything. And he was reminded, you know, there was a light on about 2 miles down the road. I'm going to walk back to that house where the light was on, because if the light is on, someone possibly is there. Oh, the one that lost his mind would say, I saw that light, but I'm not going to walk back to that light. We don't think like that. If we need help, we go to the light. Why is it when we need help spiritually, Brother Dennis, we don't go to the light? We go to everybody but Jesus. We go to everybody but the Word. We call everyone else except on God. We got to go back to the light, which is righteousness and goodness and truth. We go back to the Word. And when that man went back to that house, knocked on that door, somebody was there to help him. Gave him a flashlight and a jack. Drove off. He was on his way. You know what? Sometimes we just need to go on back to the light. Stop trying to do it ourselves, right? Y'all just go like that. It's fine. Because sometimes we try to do things ourselves. But the wisdom is in here. 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 24. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. But notice what he goes on to say. And finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Why? It's shameful even to speak of those things that are done by them in secret. You know, it's a shameful thing to talk about what people in darkness do as if it's so good. Jesus wouldn't. Jesus came to expose the darkness. Turn to John chapter 1, the text that was read in your hearing as we come slightly to a close. I have about 3 or 4 closings for those of y'all who are first-time visitors. Is that right, Brother Dennis? About 3 or 4 closes. I want to show you something real quick. Look at verse number 3. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Here it is. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not notice, comprehend it. The word comprehend literally means the darkness did not snatch it up. The darkness did not take the opportunity to leave the darkness and conform to the light. How many people we know maybe even some of us who are not taking advantage or seizing the opportunity to walk in the light. And you know what it means? That I even take my thoughts and my heart and I give it to God. I think most of the problems that Mike Bonner has is because Mike Bonner's heart doesn't want to seize the opportunities of light. But the Bible clearly teaches us, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 4, that the light should be our captive. It should be our motivation. It should shine in our hearts. What's shining in your heart? What's in our hearts this morning? Is it the light of the glorious gospel? Are we really following after Jesus? Do we follow after Jesus in every aspect of our lives? Jesus wants us to. And the reason why is because he wants us to walk in the light. Question. Is Jesus the light of your world? He has to be. Sometimes I think it would be too profound when Jesus tried to just keep it as possible. Is he illuminating? Are you thinking about Jesus right now? Are you thinking about the cross that he bore? Are you thinking about him when he was on the cross? Praise God, he didn't stay on that cross. Praise God, they buried him in a borrowed tomb because he wasn't going to keep it. And that God raised him up with his power and gave us life. And that life is our light. And we carry the light everywhere we go, starting at home. Amen. One brother said one time we, in our mission work, we want to go to El Salvador when we haven't went next door. Sometimes we need to go next door in the house. Go into the other room and be a light of the world, to the world, to your family. And teach your children how to be lights. Teach them how to think like Christ and be like Christ. And when you're like Christ, you don't have to fake it. You can just be like God. And you can be the same person wherever you go. Because we're following the light. One thing I love about Jesus, he was consistently the light wherever he went. And as he was proving God to be who he was, God is holy, God is righteous, God is good, God is light. So the next time you look into the clouds, and you see how bright it is, think about, where's God? He's not that far. You know God is not far from us. He's right here. That scares me, but it also gives me assurance. Because sometimes we're not doing what is right. Sometimes we don't think right. Sometimes we don't act right. But the light of the glorious gospel ought to change our behavior. Amen. Ought to change our behavior. The word of God is designed to change our behavior. If you're not a child of God, listen. You're not in the light. Now, we got a bunch of false teachers out here saying that it doesn't matter. It did matter. Jesus connected the light with the cross. No cross, no light. So we have to do what Jesus has taught us. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you want to repent of your sins, turn away from evil? Because to turn away from evil is to turn toward God. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. There God will perform an operation upon you that no man can ever perform. As a matter of fact, every operation that God does, they always come out successful on the other end. He never loses a patient on the operating table. Why? Because they come out and they walk in the newness of life. There it is. But you got to be faithful. You got to stay in the light. Oh, it's possible to obey Jesus Christ and then depart from him. Jesus told his disciples when the multitude left, will you go away also? Peter chimed in and said, to whom shall we go? Thou have the words to eternal life. If you're a child of God, you need special prayer and you haven't been walking in the light. Jesus is not your light. Everything else is your light, but Jesus. Let's get back to the light so he can navigate our lives. So the light bulb can begin going off again. So we can see him for who he is, the God of holiness. As we stand and as we sing, Savior's invitation.